بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our session number 24. Session 24, lessons in Arabic language, level 4, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. And today we're going to be taking a new lesson, that is lesson 26. So from the homework assignment, or the suggested proposed homework assignment for the previous week, we outlined the study of the English key for this new lesson 26. There are 9 points in this lesson, beginning on page 116 and ending on the bottom of page 120. So pages 116, 117, 118, 119, and 120 are what we intend to cover today. بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, so there are several really important topics in this lesson, but of course the most important is always the first point, and that is what is mentioned on the top of page 116, lesson 26. In this lesson we learn the following. Number one, al-fi'lu al-ruba'iyu, the ruba'i or quadriliteral verb. That is a verb which has 4 radicals. A verb which has 4 radicals, 4 root letters. Up until now, we have only seen triliteral verbs, yani thulathi, thulathi mujarrad, without any letters of increase that modify the meaning, and thulathi al-mazid, which we have been studying for the past few months, beginning from the end of level 3 and continuing in this level 4 course. We have seen all triliteral verbs, thulathi mujarrad and thulathi mazid. So today, inshallah, in this lesson, we're going to look at the fi'l al-ruba'i. Ruba'i, yani quadriliteral verb. Verb which has 4 radicals, 4 root letters. For example, tarjama means he translated. Tarjama means he translated. Another example is ba'athara, with ayn and tha. Ba'athara means he scattered things. Harawala, with ha as in huwa. Harawala, which means he walked fast. He walked quickly. Like the walking that a person does around the Kaaba, yani in the first tawaf, the tawaf al-qudum, when they arrive in Mecca for the first time. And then they gave us basmala. Basmala means he said bismillah. Yani he said bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Yani basmala means to say bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Like the thulathi, the ruba'i is also either mujarrad or mazid. Yani, what we mean by mujarrad means it either has only the 3 or the 4 radicals, original root letters. Yani, thulathi mujarrad means it only has the 3 original radicals or root letters. And ruba'i mujarrad means it only has the 4 original radicals or root letters. So in this case, like we've already seen, thulathi having mujarrad and mazid, yani having the original root letters or extra letters that are added to modify the meaning. So likewise, similarly, the ruba'i is also either mujarrad, only the 4 original radicals or root letters, or it may be mazid, yani extra letters added to those original four radicals or root letters, extra letters added to them, for the purpose of modifying the meaning. Now, okay, so let's go into the Mujarrad first, okay? The Mujarrad only has one bab. It doesn't have any subdivisions where other letters are added. It only has one form, and then the Mazid has different forms, any different abwab. Now, so the Rubai Mujarrad has only the four radicals without any extra letters, any of the extra letters that modify the meaning. Like, for example, you have Arima to know, and you have Allama to teach. So there are no extra letters. You have Salima, yani to be safe, or you have Salama to give salams, for example. So what we're saying here is what? Yani that the Rubai Mujarrad has only the four radicals without any extra letters that modify the meaning, as in Tarjama. Tarjama, which means he translated, which is composed of Ta, Ra, Jim, and Mim. These are the four original radicals or original root letters. Now the Rubai Mujarrad has only one bab, that is Fa'lala. Fa'lala. The one bab of the Rubai Mujarrad is Fa'lala, yani with sukoon on the ayn. The Mudari is Yufa'lilu, yani a letter is prefixed to it, the Mudara'a letter, Ya, or Ta, or Noon, or Hamza, with Dhamma, taking Dhamma, and then you have the then you have the rest of the original root letters, Fa, Ayn, Lam, and Lam. And the next to the last letter is going to take kasra in the mudari. Fa'lala is the past tense. Yufa'lilu is the present tense. Fa'lala, yufa'ilu. And then they give us one example. Yani, yutarjimu. Yani, from tarjama, yutarjimu. Tarjama, you add the prefix letter with dhamma. And the next to the last letter takes kasra. Tarjama yutarjimu. And I guess we could say, yani, just like tarjama yutarjimu, we could say, yani, from the examples they gave us above, yani, ba'athara would become yuba'athiru, and harwala would become yuharwilu, and basmala would become yubasmilu. Alright? Alright, so, that's the mudari. Yufa'lilu. Ya'ani? Yutarjimu. Yuba'athiru. Yuharwilu. Yubasmilu. Okay, that's the mudari. Then it says, as the verb is composed of four letters, yani tarjama, or ba'athara, or harwala, since it's composed of four letters, we said the rule, when we were doing the thulathi mazid, we said the rule is when a verb has four original letters, I mean when it has four letters, yani like, yani allama, which has two lambs, or aslama, yani which has the extra hamza in the beginning. When it has four letters, we said that the harf mudara, the prefixed ya or ta, hamza, noon, takes dhamma, has dhamma. Alright, so far we saw the madi, tarjama, the mudari, yutarjimu, and we mentioned that the mudari is going to take dhamma because this verb has four letters. Now it says the masdar is on the pattern of fa'alalatun. Fa'alalatun. Meaning, the same pattern as the past tense form, fa'alala, you just take that exact form, fa'alala, and add ta marbuta. Fa'alalatun. For example, tarjamatun. From tarjama, tarjama, just add ta marbuta. Tarjamatun, which means translation. Before we go on, let me just give a couple of examples. Yani for the master pattern. Right? So, from tarjama, we said the master is on the pattern of fa'alalatun is tarjamatun. And from ba'athara, the master will be ba'atharatun. And from harawala, the master will be harawalatun. And from basmala, the master will be basmalatun. That's as far as the master. So now we've seen the madi, the mudari, and the master. So what remains are two other things, ism fa'al and ism maf'ul. And as we saw previously, yani the ism fa'al and ism maf'ul from the mazid verbs, thulathi mazid, yani is that it takes the mudari form, changes the mudari letter, the ya to meem with dhamma, and the next to the last radical takes kasra in the fa'il and fatah in the maf'ul form. Alright, the next to the last letter in the ism fa'al takes kasra and the ism maf'ul it takes fatah. Otherwise, the mudari form is just as it is, just exchange the ya for meem with dhamma, and the vowel is going to be kasra or fatah depending on if it's ism fa'al or ism maf'ul. That's what we learned with the thulathi mazid, the same thing here. It says here the ism fa'al is from tarajama, the ism fa'al is mutarjimu. Yani so, tarajama, the mudari is yutarjimu. Now we just change you to mu, and we say, the next to the last letter takes kasra for the ism fa'al, mutar, yani from yutarjimu, it became mutarjimun. And he said, except that here takes tanween because yutarjimu is a mudari verb and mutarjimun is a noun. And he ism fa'il, right? But the same form of the mudari verb, we just change the u to mu, meem with dhamma, and the next to the last vowel, already in the mudari is kasra, so we just leave it as kasra. But that's for the ism fa'il. If it's the ism maf'ul, we got to change the kasra to fatah. So it became, yani, the ism fa'il, yani mutarjimun, translator, the one who translates, wherein the third radical has kasra. And in the ism maf'ul, the third radical has fatah. So instead of mutarjimun, it became mutarjamun. And the example they gave us is kitabun mutarjamun, a translated book. Yani mutarjim is a translator, and mutarjam is the thing that has been translated. Alright, so this is the past tense form and the present tense form and the master form and the ism fa'il and ism maf'ul. Alright, so that's what we wanted to cover in terms of the ruba'i mujarrad. Past tense form, present tense form, master, ism fa'il and ism maf'ul. Ism fa'il and maf'ul is the same as what we saw before. And ism fa'il taking kasra on the next to the last radical and ism maf'ul taking fatha. Also we said previously that when a verb has four letters, the mudara'a letter is going to take dhamma. So all of this, yani, is close to what we have studied before, except here we're working with four radicals or four root letters as opposed to three. Yani, four original root letters before any letters of increase have been added to modify the meaning. Okay, so that's the ruba'i mujarrad. Now, halfway down the page, the ruba'i mazid has three abwab. It has three different forms for the ruba'i mazid. They are A, tafa'lala, few lines down, B, if'alalla, with shadda on the last radical, and C on the top of the next page, if'anlala. So these are the three abwab of mazid for the ruba'i verb. The three abwab are, yani, the first one, A, is tafa'lala, where ta has been prefixed to the first radical. Yani, the original form, mujarrad, is fa'lala. So here, the mazid, the first mazid form, is adding a ta to the beginning. Tafa'alala. Same form, just yani with a ta added to the beginning. For example, tara'ra'a. Tara'ra'a. Yani the mujarrad form would have been ra'ra'a. Ra'ra'a. But here we add a ta, tara'ra'a, which means he grew up. Yani in a certain place or in a certain way. Another example, tamavmada. Tamavmada. Adding the ta to the original four radicals. He rinsed his mouth with water. Okay, so here, for the first form of mazid, I want to just take a quick look, yani before we go on to the, so the first form they gave us, or the first example they gave us, is tara'ra'a, tara'ra'a, right? And the second example they gave us is tamavmada. So now we want to go and look at, yani the mudari form. The mudari form from tara'ra'a, they said the mudari is yatara'ra'u, yatara'ra'u. And the masdar is tara'ru'un. Yani the mudari form is just adding to tara'ra'a, adding the ya, which is the mudari'a letter. Yatara'ra'u. Tara'ra'a, yatara'ra'u. Yani tamavmada would be what? Yani yatamavmadu. Tamavmada, yatamavmadu. And they also gave us the masdar, which is from tara'ra'a. The masdar is on the pattern of tafa'lulun. Tafa'lulun. The next to the last radical, yani, is going to take dhamma, and then of course it's going to take tanween because this is a noun. The masdar is a noun, right? So the masdar is tara'ru'un. Tara'ru'un. So here we will see, yani, that the original past tense form of this mazid verb is tara'ra'a. Here what we're doing is changing the next to the last radical to dhamma, that's all. Tara'ra'a became tara'ru'un with tanween because it's a noun. Alright, so the masdar form is just changing the next to the last root letter. Or the next to the last letter, which is the next to the last root letter, changing it from the past tense form with fatha to the masdar form with dhamma. Tara'ra'a became tara'ru'un. And that will be the same with yani tamavmada. Yani the next to the last letter, the meem, would take dhamma in the masdar form. Tamavmu. Dun, tamadmudun. Yani just changing the fatha to dhamma on the next to the last letter. Okay, that's as far as the past tense form, the present tense form, and the masdar. The second mazid for the ruba'i, quadrilateral verb, yani with four original radicals or root letters. The next one, the pattern is if'alalla. Yani where I is prefixed to the first radical. Yani because the first radical is the fa, then the ayn, then the lam, then the lam. So the first radical fa has prefixed to it hamzatul wasl with kasra. If. And the fourth radical, the last radical, is doubled. Yani if'alalla. With shadda on the last radical. So two things happen here. The first radical is prefixed with hamzatul wasl with kasra, and the last radical is doubled. Alright? So, yani the original form would have been fa'alala. But here we have if'alala. If'alala. Now, for example, itma'anna. Yani the four root letters are Ta, Mim, Hamza, and Noon. So the Ta is prefixed with Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra. And the last radical, the Noon, is doubled. Itma'anna. He felt reassured. He felt reassured. Another example is Ishma'az. Yani, the four root letters are Sheen, Mim, Hamza, and Zay. So the first radical, Sheen, is prefixed with Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, and the last radical is doubled. Ishma'az. He detested something. He detested something. The Mudari from Itma'anna is Yatma'innu. Yani, the Hamzatul Wasl is omitted, and the prefix letter, Ya Ta Hamza Anun, is prefixed to it. So, Itma'anna became Yatma'innu. The only thing that changes here is that the Hamzatul Wasl is omitted with the prefix, Yani Harf Mudara, and the next to the last letter, the next to the last radical, instead of having Fatha, it has Kasra. Itma'anna became Yatma'innu. Yatma'innu, that's the Mudari form. And we're going to just look at the Mudari form also for Ishma'azza. Ishma'azza, yani get rid of the Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, even though they didn't bring it here, but just yani to follow up. Get rid of the Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra and replace it with the Harf Mudara. And then the next to the last letter takes Kasra instead of Fatha, so it became Ishma'azza became Yashma'izzu. Yashma'izzu. The only thing we're doing is getting rid of the Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, replacing with the Harf Mudara, and then we are changing the vowel of the next to the last letter from Fatha to Kasra. Ishma'azza Yashma'izzu. Yani, which means, Ishma'azza means he detested someone or something. Okay, that is the past tense form. The present tense form, Al-Mudari, from Itma'anna is Yatma'innu. We already said that, right? And Ishma'azza is Yashma'izzu. And then the Masdar from Yani Itma'anna is Itmi'nan. Itmi'nan. Yani, the pattern, though they don't mention it here, the pattern is if il lal. Yani, the first radical takes sukun preceded by hamza, hamza til wasl with kasra. The second radical takes kasra, it mi'nan. The third radical takes sukun, and the fourth radical takes fatha elongated by alif. Yani, if il lal, or in this case, itmi'nan. Itmi'nan. Yani, the shadda on the noon on the last radical is voweled. The shadda is separated, and the one of those noons takes fatha elongated by alif, followed by the other noon. So originally it was what? Itma'anna, the two noons are separated, it became itmi'nan. Itmi'nan. Tayyib. Remember, because the fourth radical is doubled, but here in the Masdar pattern, the doubled letter is separated. The first of them takes fatha elongated by alif. So, yani, itma'anna became itmi'nanun. And the same thing we could say about yani ishma'azza. It became ishmi'zazu. Ishma'azza, the shadda on the zay, yani, is removed. The two letters are separated. The first of them takes fatha elongated by alif. Ishmi'zaz. The same as itmi'nan. Naam. That's the masdar. It says here in the Quran, 13th Surah, 28th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Lo, or is it not so that in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find peace? Do hearts find peace, rest, yani tranquility, in the remembrance of Allah. Naam. So here we have yani the present tense form of yani it ma'anna became yatma'innu, or in this case tatma'innu, because yani the verb is in the feminine form because of al-qulub. The fa'il is غير عاقل plural. تَطْمَئِنُّ. نعم. After this, we look at the last of the مزيد, رباعي مزيد, مزيد forms, which is, يعني it says, if-an-lala. If-an-lala. Here, the first radical, the fa, is preceded by Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, yani I is prefixed to the first radical, and Noon is added after the second radical. So the first radical is Fa, the second radical is Ain, the third and fourth radicals are Lam and Lam. So here the first radical is prefixed with Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, and then came the second radical followed by an added letter, a Noon with Sukoon. So fa'lala became if'anlala, if'anlala. Noon is added after the second radical. If'anlala. For example, if'ranqa'a, if'ranqa'a. Yani, if'ranqa'a is a verb that means, yani, to disperse. Yani, if'ranqa'a, he dispersed. The mudari is yafranqi'u. يَفْرَنْقِعُ. Yani in other words, إِفْرَنْقَعَ, again you get rid of the Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra and add the Harf Mudara, the prefix letter. And then also the next to the last radical takes Kasra, as we saw in the previous bab. Yani إِتْمَأَنَّ became يَتْمَأِنُّ, and here إِفْرَنْقَعَ became يَفْرَنْقِعُ. The next to the last radical taking Kasra. And the master is ifrunqa'un, ifrunqa'un. Yani in other words, the past tense form is ifrunqa'a. So in the master, we see that the second radical is taking kasra instead of fatta. The noon remains with sukoon. The next to the last radical is In the past tense, it has fatta. In the masdar form, it takes fatta elongated by alif. So ifrunqa'a became ifrunqa'un, ifrunqa'un. So the second radical is taking kasra, and the third radical is being fatta is being elongated. Ifrunqa'un. So, for example, for this particular example, it says the sentence, if ranqa an-nasu, means the people dispersed. But let's just go back and look at it a little bit with another example. So we have here in the past tense, yani from the pattern, if an-lala, first radical being preceded by Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, second radical being followed by an added noon with sukoon. If an-lala, the example they gave us, if ranqa'a. If ranqa'a, مضاري يفرنقئو ماستر إفرنقاؤن. So another example that we'll see in this lesson today is إحرنجما. إحرنجنا, يعني the first letter ha preceded by Hamzat al-Wasl with Kasra, the second radical ra being followed by noon with sukoon. يعني from the root letters of ha, ra, Jim and Meem. Hamzat al-Wasl is added before the first radical, the Ha, and Noon is added after the second radical, the Ra. So it became Ihranjama. Ihranjama, Mudari, Yahranjimu, with Kasra. Yahranjimu. And the Master, Ihrinjam. Ihrinjam. Alright, so if we compare them, we have Ifranqa'a, and we have Ihranjama. In the Mudari, Yafranqi'u, and in the mudari, يَحْرَنْجِمُ. And the master, إِفْرِنْقَاءٌ. And on this one, إِحْرِنْجَامٌ. Now, so we'll see examples of this in the lesson, but just, yani, to sometimes when you see more than one example, it helps a little bit to, like, identify and to and be conscious of the patterns. Okay, so this is the third of the Ruba'i Mazid. So the Ruba'i Mazid has three babs. That is, the first one, a ta is added to the beginning of it. From fa'allala, it became tafa'allala, with a ta added. The second one, from fa'allala, it became if'alalla. If'alalla, with adding. And hamzat al-wasl with kasr in the beginning. And the last radical taking, shadda. And the third one is from yani, from the original form of fa'allala. Yani we're adding hamzat al-wasl with kasra, and we're adding yani after the second radical noon, it became if an la la, if an la la. All right. So yani this is something that's brand new. Yani there's different patterns. So we have four patterns here. We have the mujarrad pattern, and then we have three mazid patterns. So those patterns have to be learned. They have to be memorized. And the way to do that is to read it over and over again. Look at different examples, read them, write them, and just practice with them until the pattern starts to stick in your mind. But these are patterns. The more you see the pattern, the more you read the examples, the more you go over the exercises, yani, the more likely that you're going to memorize and become comfortable with the pattern. That otherwise, yani, it's brand new, so obviously in the beginning, it's not going to be yani, retained instantly, but it just requires drilling, practicing, yani doing exercises. Okay, that's the first point of the English key, yani the ruba'i quadrilateral verb, yani the mujarrad form, and the three abwab of mazid. Okay, let's go on to the other, yani the remaining 8 points of this English key, and basically for homework it was to preview the English key from points 1 through 9. So let's look at the other points of the English key. The second point being near the top of page 117. It says here, and this is what is called the mi'al fasl, the differentiating pronoun. The pronoun that helps you to differentiate between two possible meanings of an expression. The mi'al fasl. So it says, this is a man. This is a man. In Arabic is hadha rajulun. Yani hadha, this is rajulun, a man, with tanween. And this is the man, is hadha ar-rajulu. Hadha, this is ar-rajulu, the man. But this sentence, the second one, hadha ar-rajulu, may also mean this man, not this is the man, but it might possibly mean this man. As we learned early on, when we looked at the ism ishara, when it has a bedel. The ism ishara, when it has a bedel, yani alif lam, then this would just be considered the mubtada and a bedel. It won't be a mubtada and a khabar. So it's possible the hadha ar-rajulu can be a mubtada and a khabar. This is the man. And it's possible the hadha ar-rajulu can just be a mubtada with its bedel, and it still requires a khabar. Alright, so this, two possible meanings for this type of expression. The ism ishara with its bedel, the word that follows it with alif lam, it becomes problematic. Sometimes it's not clear. So the listener may think that you mean, when you say hadha ar-rajulu, the listener may think that you mean this man, and they are waiting for the khabar. Yani hadha ar-rajulun, or hadha ar-rajulu, yani ghaniyun. This man is rich. But it's possible that this could be the mubtada and khabar. Hadha ar-rajulu, this is the man. So both of them are possible, and because of this, yani, ambiguity, sometimes it's not clear which one is intended. This is the man, or this man, and you still need a khabar. To avoid this ambiguity, an appropriate pronoun. Appropriate pronoun meaning a pronoun that reflects the gender, the number, and the person that is, yani, being indicated in the statement. An appropriate pronoun is inserted between the mubtada and the khabar. Yani between the two words, a pronoun, an appropriate pronoun, is inserted, which is called the يعني ضمير الفصل, as we will see in a minute, the differentiating pronoun. يعني a pronoun that makes it clear that we mean here, this is the man and not this man. Okay, if we mean this is the man and the sentence itself is not clear, then we have to use this pronoun to make clear that we mean, yani, this is the man, not this man. Okay, so this is the man, هذا رجل, that meaning can be made clear by using the appropriate pronoun in between the two words. For example, هذا هو الرجل. This is the man. This is the man. Now, هذا الرجل, which by itself, هذا الرجل can mean this is the man, but it might not be clear because the person might think it means this man. But when we put the differentiating pronoun, the ضمير الفصل, the pronoun that makes clear that we mean is, this is the man. يعني it makes clear that we mean this is a مبتدا and a خبر, not a مبتدا and its بدل. If we want to make it clear that this is a مبتدا and a خبر, then we use the differentiating pronoun. هذا هو, this is الرجل, the man. Likewise, هؤلاء هم المجرمون, these are the criminals. Without هم, the differentiating pronoun, we could say, هؤلاء المجرمون, these are the criminals. But a person might think we mean, هؤلاء المجرمون, these criminals. A مبتدا and its بدل. They might think we're just having a مبتدا and a بدل and we're waiting for a خبر. But once we put the differentiating pronoun there, it becomes clear that we mean, these are the criminals. هؤلاء هم المجرمون. These, هم, they are المجرمون. If it's clear, we don't need the differentiating pronoun. يعني in some context, it might be clear if we say هؤلاء المجرمون that we mean these are the criminals. But if it's not clear, that's when we have to use, يعني to make clear that this is a مبتدا and a خبر, we use the differentiating pronoun. Without the differentiating pronoun, it could be just a مبتدا and its بدل. It could be that. If that's what we intend, we don't need the differentiating pronoun. But if we intend a مبتدا and a خبر, then we may need to use the differentiating pronoun, ضمير الفصل. Another example, هذه هي السيارة. This is the car. يعني if we didn't have the differentiating pronoun, we could say هذه السيارة. It would mean this is the car, or it could mean this car. And now we're looking for a خبر. هذه السيارة جديدة. يعني, but if we mean a مبتدا and a خبر, not a مبتدا and its بدل, then we may need to use the differentiating pronoun, ضمير الفصل, to make it clear that this is, هذه is the مبتدا and السيارة is the خبر. We use the differentiating pronoun, يعني an appropriate pronoun that reflects the gender and the number and the person. يعني هذه هي, هؤلاء هم, هذا هو. يعني the pronoun that goes with the اسم إشارة. هو with هذا, هي with هذه, هم with هؤلاء, and so on. يعني the last example they gave us is هؤلاء هن المسلمات. These are the Muslim ladies. These are the Muslim ladies. So without هن, that corresponds with the, يعني what's being referred to here, يعني the مسلمات, feminine plural, without that, it's possible that it could be understood هؤلاء المسلمات. It could be understood that these are the Muslim ladies, or it might be understood as just a مبتدا and its بدل. هؤلاء المسلمات, يعني these Muslim ladies, what about them? يعني are, يعني something, whatever. يعني our students, or whatever. Or our teachers, or whatever. نعم. Alright, so the pronoun, الضمير, so used, the pronoun that's used in this way, يعني to differentiate between an expression that may be a مبتدا and a خبر from an expression that may be a مبتدا and its بدل, the pronoun so used is called ضمير الفصل, the differentiating pronoun. What does it differentiate between? It differentiates between a statement that could be understood in one of two ways. It could be understood that this is a mubtada and it's bedel, or it could be understood that this is a mubtada and a khabar, in which case, if that's what's intended, then we use the differentiating pronoun to indicate that no, this is not a mubtada and it's bedel, this is a mubtada and a khabar. A mubtada and a khabar. If we want it to be understood that it's a mubtada and a khabar, we may need to use the dhamir al-fasl. Huwa, or hiya, or hum, or hunna, and so on, as in the examples given here. This ambiguity, now there's another case in which that may occur. This ambiguity also occurs in a sentence where the mubtada is a proper noun, the name of a person. If the mubtada is a proper noun, and the khabar is an adjective, and the khabar is an adjective or a noun having alif lam, this may also be confusing. Yani where the mubtada is a proper noun, the name of a person, and the khabar is an adjective or a noun having alif lam, it could be understood to be a mubtada and its bedel. Or it could be understood to be a mubtada and a khabar. And if we want to make it clear that it's a mubtada and a khabar, then we use the differentiating pronoun that indicates that what we intend here, that this proper noun is a mubtada, and the adjective that follows it, or the noun with alif lam that follows it, is intended to be the khabar, not just an adjective describing the proper noun. All right. Okay, so let's look here and see the example that they gave us. For example, Hamidun, that's the proper noun. Al-la'ibu, that's the adjective or the noun having alif lam, which may mean Hamid the player, or it may mean Hamid is the player. Okay? So if we wanted to intend to mean Hamid is the player, yani a mubtada and a khabar, then we say Hamidun huwa al-la'ibu. So whenever we want to make sure that we intend a mubtada and a khabar, that's when we may need to use the dhamir al-fasl, or the differentiating pronoun, when we intend to mean it is a mubtada and a khabar. Otherwise, Hamidun al-la'ibu may mean Hamid the player, right? What about him? Hamid the player is great. But if we mean Hamid is the player, then we may need to use the mirror fossil, Hamidun huwa al-la'ibu. And then they give us some examples. Here are some more examples of dhamiru al-fasli. Wa'ulaika humul muflihun. This is from the Quran, second surah, fifth ayat. Wa'ulaika, and those, hum al-muflihun. They are the successful. Those and those, they are the successful. Yani here, what we intend to say is that this is a mubtada and a khabar. Ulaika al-muflihun. It could be understood that that's a mubtada and a khabar, and it could be understood that that's a mubtada and it's bedel. But if we use the dhamir al-fasl, it becomes clear this is a mubtada and a khabar. Ha'ulai hum al-muflihun. Ha'ulai is the mubtada, and al-muflihun is the khabar, and whom the dhamir al-fasl makes clear that we intend here a mubtada and a khabar. The second example they gave us is dhalika huwa al-fawzul azim. That is the great success. Dhalika is the mubtada, and al-fawz is the khabar. Azim is a not describing it, but in any case, what is intended here is that we want to make this as a mubtada and a khabar. Dhalika al-fawzul azim. To make that crystal clear that we mean a mubtada and a khabar, we use the mirr al-fasl, the differentiating pronoun. So we know that when we see that differentiating pronoun, that this is a mubtada, dhalika is a mubtada, and al-fawzul azim is the khabar, or the khabar and it's not. By using the differentiating pronoun, we make clear that we intend this to be a mubtada and a khabar. If we said dhalika without huwa, al-fawz al-azim, we could intend by that a mubtada and a khabar, but it might not be clear. We might think that that means that great success, and then we're looking for some khabar. It could be understood that way, but with the dhamir al-fasl, it becomes clear that this is a mubtada and it's khabar. So here it says here, finally, but the use of the neural fossil is not compulsory. If you think that there is no ambiguity, yani it's not unclear, it's clear that you mean a mubtada and a khabar, it's not going to be unclear, then you need not use the damir al-fasl. It's not compulsory. And we have examples of that in the Qur'an. We have in the Qur'an, for example, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ يَعْنِي لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, that is the book, in the second surah, second ayat, Surah Al-Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. So, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ can mean a mubtada, and al-kitab could be a badal, which would mean that book, and now we're waiting for something about it. But it came here not as a Badal, it came here as a mubtada and a khabar. Thalika al-kitabu. That is the book. If we needed to make it clear, we would have to say thalika huwa al-kitabu. But since it's clear, then we don't need the damir al-fasl, and it's okay, and it's clear that this means that is the book. Another example, thalika al-fawz al-azim. And the same expression that came in the Quran in 9th surah, 72nd ayat, with the damir al-fasl, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, it also came in the same surah, 9th surah, 89th ayat. Later on it came without the damir al-fasl. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, meaning that is the great success, without the damir al-fasl. That is the great success. So, it's possible then to use the damir al-fasl to make it crystal clear that this is a mubtada and a khabar. And in some cases it might not be necessary, so it's not compulsory. Okay, let's go on to the third point, bottom of page 117. It says, if you're offered something to eat with the instruction, قُلْ هَذَا, you can eat the whole thing. It means eat this. That means you can eat the whole thing. But if the instruction is قُلْ مِنْ هَذَا, yani eat from this, then you are to take only part of it, some of it. In the same way we say, من الطلاب من لا يعرف الإنكليزية, of the students, yani some of the students, of the students are some who do not know English. من الطلاب, that means from amongst the students, some of them لا يعرف الإنكليزية, some of them don't know English. This من in من الطلاب and this من in كل من هذا is called من التبعيدية, التبعيضية with ضاد, I'm sorry, من التبعيضية with شد on the ياء and تاء مربوطة. This is called the partitive من, yani the من that means a part of something. This من is called من التبعيضية, the partitive من. Here are some more examples. أنت من أحسن الطلاب, you are one of the best students, yani you are from amongst the best students. من, you are a part of, أحسن الطلاب, the best students, one of them. Compare this with أنت أحسن الطلاب, yani you are the best student. أنت أحسن, you are the best. أنت من أحسن, you are from among the best, you are one of the best. Another example, وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend part of what we have given them. This is in the Quran, second surah, third ayat. وَمِمَّا, and from, yani some part of, ma, what, رَزَقَنَاهُمْ, we have, yani given them, provided them with, يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend. They spend مِمَّا, from what we have provided them, yani some part of what we have provided them. Another example from the second surah, again, 8th ayat in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from among the people, yani some part of the people, some of them, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, and from among mankind, some of the people are, from amongst them are some who say, we believe in Allah on the last day, but they are not believers. Alright, so this is called min التبعيضية with عين and ضاد and شد on the ياء and ترمبوتة, and it means the min that indicates, yani the partitive min indicates that it's talking about a part of something, some of it, not the whole of it. Number four, point number four, page 118, it says, وَهَلْ جَاءَ الْمُدِيرُ, in this sentence, وَهَلْ جَاءَ الْمُدِيرُ And has the headmaster, the principal, come? The conjunction wow comes first. And then the interrogative particle hell comes second. After the conjunction, the interrogative particle comes second. That's the general rule for interrogative particles. But the hamzatul istifham, unlike the other conjunction, unlike other interrogative particles, the hamzatul istifham precedes the conjunction, doesn't come after it, like hell comes after wow, but hamzatul istifham would come before the wow, not after it. So for example, awaja'a al-mudir, not wa aja'a, like wa hal ja'a, no. A wa, then the hamzatul wasl comes first when it is used with a conjunction. It comes before the conjunction. Unlike hell, we cannot say wa aja al mudir, but rather we say a wa, not wa a. Hamzatul istifham comes first before the conjunction. Here are some examples from the Quran. Awalam, hamzatul istifham coming first before the conjunction. Awalam yanzuru في ملكوت السماوات والأرض did they not look into the kingdom, the malakut of the heavens and the earth. 7th surah 185th ayat. أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا and did they not look into the kingdom. It doesn't say وَأَلَمْ, rather أَوَلَمْ. Another example from the 10th surah 51st ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَثُمَّ إِذَا مَا وَقَعَ آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ Then, will you not believe in it when it has actually happened? أَثُمَّ إِذَا مَا وَقَعَ Yani here, there's إِذَا مَا وَقَعَ. In my book, مَا is left out, but it should be there. It's مَا زَائِدَ, and this مَا is mistakenly left out in the printing of my book. I don't know if your book is like that, but just make sure that in this ayat that it should say athumma idha ma waqa, yani when it actually happened. Idha ma waqa, when it actually happened, will you then believe? Athumma amantum, will you then believe in it when it actually happens? You're gonna wait until you see it. Okay, so the ma here is ma zaida, but it should be placed in between إذا and وقع. إذا ما وقع, yani when it actually happens. أثم, will you then believe? أثم أمنتم به. Alright, so the point here is that Hamzatul Istifham precedes the conjunction, unlike the interrogative particle hell or other question words. Okay, point number 5. Many ayat commence with إذ. Many ayat commence with or begin with إذ. For example, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ Yani, and remember when Ibrahim said. In such cases, إِذْ is the object of the verb, the مَفْعُولٌ بِ, the object of the verb اُذْكُرُ, remember. إِذْ, when, قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, remember when Ibrahim said. What is intended here is وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, but اُذْكُرُوا is left out. Nonetheless, it's understood to be there, in which case إِذْ would be the object of the verb اُذْكُرُوا, remember, which is always omitted, always oft, it should be often omitted, not always. Okay, this verb اُذْكُرُوا is often omitted, but it's understood to be there, in which case إِذْ is the object of the verb اُذْكُرُوا, that is يعني left out, that is omitted. It's understood to be the مَفْعُولٌ بِ, the object of the verb اُذْكُرُوا. The meaning of the above ayat is then, the meaning would be then يعني وَإِذْ قَالَ, the meaning should be وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ قَالَ, remember إِذْ when قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, when Ibrahim said. I hope it's clear. In other words, in the Quran, in many places, إِذْ comes as the object of the verb اُذْكُرُوا, while the verb itself is not mentioned. So we should, يعني, we should understand that the meaning here is not when Ibrahim said, but rather remember when Ibrahim said. يعني اُذْكُرُوا, remember, is often left out. Point number six, bottom of page 118, the broken plural, yani jam taksir, that is mamnu min al-sarf, on the pattern of fa'la, fa'la, with sukun on the ayn, and the last radical, his vowel fatta elongated by alif maksura, fa'la. Okay, the plural of mayyitun, with shadda on the ya and kasra, mayyitun, which means dead, its plural is mawta, on the pattern of fa'la. It is a diptote, yani mamnu min al-sarf. And so, it is a footnote here, if the diptote, it said for diptote, see lesson 34. See lesson 34 for diptotes. Any details concerning the words that are mamnu min al-sarf, there's a complete, entire, detailed lesson on this particular matter. Otherwise, and we've seen diptotes before, broken plural patterns that are mamnu min al-sarf all the way back in lesson 1. In book 1, lesson 13. If I remember correctly, lesson 13 now. So the point here is that what? It is a diptote. Yani it's a word that's mamnu min al-sarf, and so it has no tanween. Yani mauta is a diptote, and therefore it doesn't have tanween. Here are some more examples. Asirun, which means a captive of war. It's plural on the pattern of fa'ala, fa'ala the Yani, first radical taking fatta, the second radical taking taking sukoon, and the third radical taking fatta, elongated by alif maksura. Asirun became asra. Maridun became marva. Jarihun, yani, wounded, became jarha. Marid is a patient or a sick person. Now, alright, so it's just a pattern, it's a broken plural pattern, fa'ala, that yani is a diptote. Taib. Turning to page 119, point number 7. Actually, in my book, I made a note here that the last point that we just did on the bottom of page 118 says point number 6. Yani the plural of mayyit is mauta on the pattern of fa'ala. The next point on page 119 is also numbered number 6. So it's just a mistake in the printing. This one, the last one was number 6, and now this should be number 7. Should be number 7. All right. Now, I don't know, there was something wrong with my computer here just for a moment, but okay, I think it's okay now. I hope the sound was coming through, because I noticed that my computer had turned off air. But anyway, we're broadcasting from the telephone, so hopefully it didn't affect anyone. Allahu musta'an. Okay. So now we're on point number 7. It's marked in my book on page top of page 119 as point number 6. But in fact, it should be number 7. And likewise, the rest of the numbers that remain should be, what is number 7 in my book should be number 8. And what is number 8 should be number 9, which is the last point of this lesson. Okay, so point number 7, it says, if the munada is a noun with the pronoun of the first person singular as its mudhaf ilayhi, it has 5 different forms. Yani if a munada, the word that comes after ya nida, the one that's being called, if it has a mudhaf ilayhi, which is the first person singular pronoun, yani that corresponds to the personal pronoun, ana. Yani, if a munada, the word that comes after ya nida, is connected in idhafa to the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallim. If it's connected to the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallim, which corresponds to the first person, yani, pronoun, personal pronoun, ana. Ya al-mutakallim corresponds to the first person, personal pronoun, ana. If this ya al-mutakallim is connected as the mudhaf ilayhi, to a noun that is the munada, the one that comes after ya and nida. It has five different forms that it may come in. It may be written five different ways. Okay, so we have a word coming after ya and nida, like the word rab, ya rab. If I intend to say ya rabbi, O my rab, so it may come in five different ways. A, ya rabbi, this is the original form, yani where the ya al mutakallam is present, ya rabbi. So you have rab and then you have ya al mutakallam attached to it, rabbi. The second form is, which is the most common form, is ya rabbi. Yani the rab just has kasra, and the ya al mutakallam, here the ya has been omitted. Okay, so instead of ya rabbi, it became ya rabbi. The third form, C, is ya rabbiya. The ya is retained here, but it has fatha instead of sukoon as in the first one, ya rabbi. Here it has ya rabbi, ya rabbiya. So the ya is retained, but it has fatha instead of sukoon. The third form is ya rabba. The ya is omitted, and the last letter has fatha. The ya is omitted, but instead of kasra, the last letter has fatha. And the fifth form, E, is ya rabba. The ya is omitted, and the last letter has fatha, elongated by alif. So there are five different ways that ya rabbi, which is the original form, O my rab, there are five different ways that it can be written, yani just in its normal form, ya rabbi, or the second form, ya rabbi, without the elongation, with the ya al-mutakallam. The third form is that the ya al-mutakallam is there, but instead of sukoon, it has fatha, ya rabbiya. The fourth form is that the ya al-mutakallam is deleted, and instead of ya al-mutakallam, there's a fatha on the last letter. And the last one is the fatha is elongated by alif. Ya Rabba, Ya Rabba. The last form takes ha as sekti at the end. Yani if you're stopping there at Ya Rabba, yani with fatha alif, then it may be followed by ha as sekti. Yani that is the ha that has sukoon at the end. Ya Rabba. The author says, I have put all five forms in this nomadic, yani nomadic means yani a pattern of letters or ideas or associations. Yani in this case, there are five words here that they're put into an arrangement that helps you to remember something. Yani to assist you, it's intended to assist you to remember it. So it's put into like yani a form of words that's easier to remember. So the five forms, he put them here in this mnemonic. Yani Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabba, Rabba. Yani Rabbi with a single kasra, and then Rabbi with the kasra being elongated. Rabbi, Rabbi, and then Rab with a fatha, and Rab with the fatha elongated. Rabba, Rabba, and then Rabbi the original form, but instead of with sukoon on the ya, with it has fatha. So instead of Rabbi, it's Rabbiya. Alright, so you have Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabba, Rabba, and Rabbiya. Okay, the first form in this line here, the first form, Rabbi, which is the second form in the listing when we originally read it, A, B, yani the one that's B, came here first, Rabbi. This is most frequently used in the Quran, Rabbi, without elongation. Okay, point number 8, which in my book has 7, we have seen in lesson 14 that if the jawab al-shart is a nominal sentence, it should take fa. If the jawab al-shart is a nominal sentence, it should take fa. For example, wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfin, yashfini. Yani this means وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ, if I became sick, the jawab is shart, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ, then he will heal me. This fa that's attached to the jawab al-shart, if it's a nominal sentence, can be replaced with إذا الفجائية. And إذا, that means something happened suddenly, surprisingly. So for example, in the 39th surah, 45th ayat of the Quran, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And when those whom they worship, yani their idols, besides him, besides Allah, are mentioned, when those are mentioned, those who they worship besides Allah, when they are mentioned, surprisingly they rejoice. إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Surprisingly, هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Yani so here instead of فَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ, إِذَا may replace the fa, yani giving it the meaning of the jawab, yani the jawab is short, giving it the meaning of surprisingly they do something. The second example they gave us is from Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 58th ayat, فَإِنْ أُعْتُوا مِنْهَا رَضُوا. So if they are given thereof, yani giving from the zakat, رَضُوا, they are pleased. وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْتَوْ مِنْهَا, but if they are not given thereof, yani from the zakat, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْخَطُونَ, then they surprisingly are displeased. And here the point is that, yani if they are given from the zakat, they are pleased. And if they are not given, then the jawab or shart, if they are not given, yani هُمْ يَسْخَطُونَ, instead of fa, yani either is used here. Now, okay, the last point, point number 9, written in my book, is point number 8 on the bottom of page 119, is related to the mudaaf verb that we studied in book 2, lesson 29. If there's any lack of clarity here or familiarity, then we need to go back and review lesson 29 from book 2, yani after the mu'tal verbs, we studied the mudaaf verb. Alright, so it says here, what we're talking about here is idgham and fakal idgham. Yani where two letters of the mudaf verb, the two letters, are joined together with shadda. So the first of them doesn't have a vowel. And then there's permissibility in certain cases with the mudaf verb that those two letters that are written with shadda can be separated. And each one taking its vowel. Each one taking its vowel. And there are two cases in which this happens. It's the mudari verb when it is majzoom with sukoon. When the mudari verb is majzoom with sukoon, instead of the mudari verb that's majzoom with hadf and noon. Yani in the three forms where you have the extra noon, or five forms, yani they're originally five forms if we add the duals, right? And we see the duals here, so we're saying these five forms of the mudari verb that when they became majzoom, they have sukoon. In those five forms, it's permissible, instead of them being written with shadda, then they may be separated, and each one taking its own form. It's any separate form, being written separately twice. So this is the mudari when it is majzoom with sukoon. Not the forms that have the extra noon, and not the two forms that are mabniyun. Yani the second and third person feminine plurals. Because they are connected to noon and niswa, they're already separated. So other than the two forms that are mabniyun, and the forms that have the extra noon, the rest of the forms, yani they are written with shadda, so that the first of the double letter doesn't take its vowel, and it's permissible though that they can be separated and each one would take its full form and voweling. Alright, so let's take a look at this and see if we can follow it. Page 119. We have learnt the mudaaf verb in book 2, lesson 29. In all forms of the mudari except two, the second radical loses its vowel and is assimilated into the third radical. The second radical loses its vowel and is assimilated into the third radical. Yani the letter that's doubled is written with shadda, so the first of them doesn't take a vowel. The only exception to that are the two forms which are connected to noon and niswa, the second and third person feminine plurals. Yani they will have their full voweling. They will not be written together. Alright? So in the other forms, we see that the second radical loses this vowel and is assimilated into the third form. And this process is called al-idgham, or assimilation. Yani where one letter is assimilated into the other. That's called idgham. The two letters, the double letter of the mudaf verb is written together. This process is called assimilation. Only the two underlined forms do not undergo idgham. Only the two that are underlined, and that is because they are isnaded to mutaharrik pronouns, yani the noon and niswa. So let's look at these forms. Fourteen forms of the mudhari verb. Two of them, the doubled letter is not written together. Those are the two feminine plurals, second and third person plurals, that are connected to noon and niswa. And all the rest of them, we see that the doubled letter is written once with shadda. Alright, let's look at them. So from right to left, we see yahujju, yani which is corresponding, these are the third person pronouns, yani huwa yahujju. The dual, yahujjani, yani huma yahujjani. The plural, yahujjuna, hum yahujjuna. Yani I'm just mentioning the pronouns so we can see which actual form of the mudhari verb we're looking at. Then we have the third person forms for feminine, yani hiya tahujju. Remember that hiya and anta, yani, have the same form. So hiya tahujjani. Hiya, naam, I'm sorry, hiya tahujju. Hiya tahujju is like anta tahujju. Hiya tahujju, and then the dual, huma tahujjani, and then the feminine third person plural, hunna yahjujna. Here, there's no idgham of the doubled letter, the two jeans. Alright, those are the third person forms. Huwa yahujju, huma yahujjani, hum yahujjuna. Those are the third person, singular, dual, and plural, masculine. Then we have hiya tahujju, and huma tahujjani, and hunna yahjujna. Those are the third person, singular, dual, and plural forms. Now we go to the second person forms. Yani anta tahujju. Next line, antuma tahujjani, the dual, and the plural, antum tahujjuna. So these are the second person, masculine, singular, dual, and plural. Yani anta tahujju, antuma tahujjani, and antum tahujjuna. Now we go to the second person, feminine, singular, dual, and plural. Yani anti tahujjina, antuma tahujjani, and antunna tahjujna. Then we go to the first person, singular and plural, yani ahujju, ana ahujju, and nahnu nahujju. So we see that all of these forms, third person, second person, masculine and feminine, singular, dual, and plural, all of them, yani we see that the doubled letter is written with shadda, except the third person and second person feminine plurals, yani in the first line, hunna yahjujna, and in the second line, antunna tahjujna. So it says here, this process is called idgham, assimilation. Only the two underlined forms do not undergo idgham, because they are isnaded to mutaharrik pronouns, because they are connected to the noon and niswa, which represents the feminine plurality, second and third person feminine plurality. Turning to page 120, now in the mudhari majzoom, okay, we're only talking about the mudhari that's majzoom by sukoon. Not the mudhari when it's majzoom and the sign of it being majzoom is hadhf and noon. So those forms that have the extra noon, yani like yahujjuna, tahujjuna, and tahujjina, those forms, and tahujjani, those forms that have the extra noon, we're not talking about those here. We're talking about the forms that when they are majzoom, they are majzoom by sukoon. And that is huwa, and huwa and hiya and anta and ana and nahnu. Huwa, hiya, anta, ana and nahnu. Those are the forms, yani four forms but representing five pronouns, because yani anti, anta and hiya have the same form. So there are four mudhari forms, but there are five pronouns. Huwa, hiya, anta, ana, and nahnu. These four forms, or five pronouns, in the mudhari majzoom, these four forms Yani you have two possibilities. One with idgham and the other without it. So for example, yahujju, which means, yani it corresponds to the pronoun huwa yahujju. Or tahujju, which could be used for anta tahujju or hiya tahujju. And then we have ahujju, which is ana ahujju, and nahujju, nahnu nahujju. These four forms, representing five pronouns. Yani, so we already said that the two, the second and third person feminine plurals, that have noon and niswa, that they are already not, there's no idgham with them. Now we're saying that the other forms, yani that where there is idgham, those that when they are majzoom take sukoon, you have two options. You can either make the idgham, you can leave it idgham, or you can separate the idgham, fak al-idgham. Alright? So, they have two possibilities, idgham and the other is without it. For example, lam yahujja. Yani here the jim is doubled, there's idgham, but because there's sukoon on the first jim, and now because of lam became yani majzoom, and the sign of being majzoom should be sukoon, but because there's two sukoons, yani they put a fatah here. So lam yahujj becomes lam yahujja. So this is the idgham, but it's also permissible that we can separate the two jims and it will become lam yahjuj. Yani with sukoon on the ha and sukoon on the second jim. Lam yahjuj. This is in the case of the mudari verb, that when it's majzoom, the sign of being majzoom is sukoon. That's in yahujju, tahujju, ahujju, and nahujju. And tahujju represents anta tahujju and hiya tahujju. In these four forms, five pronouns, there are two possibilities, idgham and fakal idgham. So the idgham in the first example, they said, lam yahujja, with fatah. Separating fakal idgham, lam yahjuj. Remember that yahujju is originally yahjuju, like yadkhulu and yakhruju. It's originally yahjuju. So if it became majzoom with sukoon and you separated the two jims, it would become lam yahjuj. In the same way, lam tahujj, yani anta tahujj or hiya tahujj, lam tahujja can be written as lam tahjuj. Because originally, it's what? It's originally tahjuju. It's originally like yahjuju, it's tahjuju. So if it became majzoom, it become tahjuj. Tahjuj. Yahjuj, tahjuj. Same thing, ahujja. Lam ahujja, yani, can, yani it's originally, yani, ahjuj, yani like adkhul, adkhulu, ahjuju, yani ahju, originally ahjuju, but here we have it written as idgham, yani ahujju, or lam ahujja, with fatah, lam ahujja, we can separate it and make it lam ahjuj. Originally it would have been what? Yani ahjuju, like adkhulu or akhruju. Ahjuju, we wrote it with idgham, yani ahujj. With lam, we can say lam ahujja or lam ahjuj. And the same thing with nahnu nahujju, yani we can make it yani lam nahujja with fatah. وَلَمْ نَحْجُجْ. Originally it would have been نَحْجُجُ, like نَدْخُلُ. But نَحْجُجُ, yani if it became مَجْزُوم, it became نَحْجُجْ. So all of these can be written with the idgham, assimilation, or it can be written with opening the idgham. Also, likewise, besides these four forms of the mudari, when they are مَجْزُوم by sukoon, the amr form, the imperative form of the second person masculine singular, of the second person, masculine singular, also has this possibility of assimilation or without it, the idgham or without the idgham. So you say, in the command form, from tahujju, the command form is hujja, hujja, yani commanding somebody to perform pilgrimage, or you can say uhjuj, just like you say from dakhala yadkhulu, udkhul, ukhruj, you can say uhjuj. So you can say hujja with idgham, or you can say uhjuj by opening the idgham. The amra of the second person feminine plural is already without idgham. Uhjujna. It already didn't have idgham, so it doesn't matter here. It cannot have idgham because it is isnadit to to the mutaharrik pronoun, yani noon and niswa. So the process, so there are two things here, right? This possibility of idgham or the lack of idgham is only in the mudari forms that when they became majzoom, the sign of them being majzoom is sukoon. That's yahujju, tahujju, ahujju, and nahujju. And again, tahujju represents anta tahujju and it also represents hiya tahujju. So it's only in the mudari forms that when they are majzoom, they have sukoon as the sign, you can have idgham or the lack of it. And the second case when you can have it is only in the second person masculine singular that corresponds to anta. When you are directing an individual male, you can say hujja or you can say uhjuj, like you say udkhul or ukhruj. The process of removing the idgham is called fak al-idgham, yani opening the assimilation. Here are some examples from the Quran of this. Okay, the first example is from the 19th surah, 20th ayat. Qalat, she said, Anna yakunu li ghulamun, how can I have a son? Walam yamsasni basharun, when no man has touched me. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? We see that yamsasni. Yamsas, yani originally it should have been yamassa. If it was idgham, without idgham, because it's majzoom here, we can make it yani lam yamassa, or it can be lam yamsas. Lam yamsasni. The second example is from the Quran 20th surah, 81st ayat. وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَدَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ, and he on whom my wrath descends. مَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَدَبِي, whoever my anger, my wrath has descended upon, yani فَقَدْ هَوَى, then he is indeed lost. So again, the verb, yani, it, if it was, yani, without idgham, it would be يَحِلَّ Yahilla, but with opening the idgham, it can be yahlil. Yani yahilla became yahlil. Wamen yahlil. Yani it's majzoom because of the jawabish, and it's the shart. Men yahlil. It's the shart. It's the verb of the shart. Okay, the next one they gave us is from 39th surah, 36th ayah. Wamen yudalilillahu fama lahu min hadin. And none can guide whom Allah does not show the way, or whom Allah misleads because of his rejection of the truth. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ, here, and none can guide him. يَعْنِي فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ, there's no one to guide him. Whoever what? Whoever Allah does not show the way, or whoever Allah يُضْلِلْ, causes to go astray. From أَضَلَّ يُضِلُّ, here instead of يُضِلُّ, we have the yani the two lambs being separated, yudlil. Yudillu, yani became, yani yudlil. Yani separating the assimilation or the idgham. And again, because it's the fi'l shart. Wa may yudlilillah. Whoever Allah leads astray, causes to go astray, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ, then there's no one to guide him. The next example they gave us is from the 3rd surah and 31st ayat. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ, yani this is the shahid here, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, if you love Allah, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah will forgive you your sins. Again, here the word is yuhbib. Yani, without the faq of the idgham, it would have been yuhib. Yuhibbu, or if it's majzoom here, in this case it's majzoom, so it would become yuhibba. Yuhibba or yuhbib, if we separate the two ba's. Yuhbibukumullah. And the last one is from the 20th surah, 27th ayat. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani, and untie the knot from my tongue. Yani the word wahlul is the fi'l amr. This is an example of the fi'l amr. The others are the mudari forms, yani, which would have been without Yani if it wasn't faqal idgham, you would say hulla. Hulla, separate the two lambs. Yani uhlul. Uhlul. Or here, because there's a waw before it, wahlul. Now, so this is the end of what we wanted to cover. And this is the end of our time as well. And inshallah, for homework, please review this English key. All of it, especially the first point, the fi'l al-rubai. And then inshallah, after that, go to the dialogue. And we'll be looking at some of the exercises as well. Probably inshallah in the coming week for homework. I'll be sending out the homework assignment tomorrow. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that we do it in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah recognize, reward, and record our good deeds. And that He pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us yani al-thabat, to remain firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim, and to return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower yani the graves of those who have passed away with His rahmah, and that He make their graves spacious and fill them with light, and that He protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into His Jannah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.